Well, good evening, and it's so nice to be here, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on this holiday. I know it's not necessarily the day of Thanksgiving yet, but I'm done working for the holiday. I'm not working any longer this evening, so I'm beginning this time off by coming together with my church family and having a time of thanksgiving and prayer, that we are putting our lives before the Lord, saying, thank you, God, as we come towards the end of the year, saying, thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you. I'm very thankful for this church family, my pastor, my family, my wife. I have just so much to be thankful for. And it's interesting, Pastor George says, I'm always Johnny on the spot. He doesn't know that when he is asking me, I was like internally saying, no, I don't really want to. I'm quick to say, sure, I'll be happy to. But I just felt like the first thoughts that came to my mind were like, this is a holiday I love, and I don't want to, but I just don't have the message that I feel is in my heart isn't necessarily the message that is always the most happiest. And I'm like, I don't want to. And I was talking to my wife. I'm like, Pastor George wants me to bring something on Thanksgiving Eve, and it's his favorite holiday of the year. It's my favorite holiday of the year. And I don't want to mess it up. but my wife convinced me, and I prayed, and I just felt like I was supposed to bring something for this night. And I am happy to be here and bringing this word, and I title it just kind of keeping the perspective of a pilgrim. That we can remember to have that heart of a pilgrim, or that perspective, that viewpoint, that posture, the attitude of a pilgrim. And as I was thinking about Thanksgiving for this month, just anyway, I was thinking about it, and maybe even going back several months, I've been troubled in my heart about how we have colored the story so much into this wonderful, it's a wonderful story, what happened with Squanto and Samoset and the pilgrims that were there and received such great hospitality from the, I can't say the name of the tribe, the Wampanoag. Thank you. And so, you know what I'm saying. So, but the hospitality was so great, and yet that story is far more exceptional for being the exception and not the norm for how we interacted as settlers or pilgrims or whatever you want to call it. And so just when I look back and think about the history that resulted for the people that welcomed the pilgrims, it's just, I've been troubled in my heart. So I struggle with what to do on this day and honestly, it keeps coming back to that we need to continue to have that heart of a pilgrim. What does it mean to be a pilgrim? And so Pastor George asked me to speak, and that very next weekend I was at a conference with a bunch of people talking about mission and so on, but the theme was migration. And I just kept hearing migrant. And one of the guys was saying, I tried doing a Google search for pilgrim, and the only thing that comes up is the pilgrims that we talk about for Thanksgiving. But pilgrim is a concept that goes long back before the Thanksgiving pilgrims. It goes long back before that. And it's really a biblical idea. It's a way of how we walk with the Lord. And so we were drawn in that conference through many different Bible passages and many different places on a journey through Scripture, and really given a lens to read Scripture differently. If we could read with a hermeneutic of the migrant, or the lens, reading our Bible with the lens of what it means to be a migrant, or a sojourner, or what other synonyms are there for pilgrim? I was thinking about this a lot this week. What other synonyms are there for pilgrim? A searcher, a traveler, an exile, sure, unattached. explorer, nomad, refugee. And another one that we probably don't think about a lot, but it comes, well, it's in our terminology today too, but it comes out of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter and the 19th verse, ambassador, 20th verse, ambassador. And this whole picture of we have been reconciled to God through Christ and given the ministry of reconciliation, calling people to be reconciled to God, making our appeal for him as his ambassador. Basically, Paul's saying, we are not from this world. We are here as representatives of another world, of another kingdom. And yet somehow or other, and maybe I'm feeling this much more strongly and deeply as a white American, because as those in the Christian context and the dominant culture of our country, it's very easy to forget that we are pilgrims. And in the last several decades, we have often seen this as a position in our country to hold on to something, that we are in this battle. Some people call it a culture war. We are in this battle. We are conserving something. And I would dare say, even if there weren't immigrants coming into our country, even if there weren't strangers at our doorstep, even if there wasn't anything, tomorrow is not going to be the same as yesterday, because our world's changing for so many other reasons. Anthropologically, technologically, sociologically, it's going to change. We cannot keep something from our past that we hold on to as nostalgia, like it's the way that we're supposed to be. In fact, it's not even the way we were supposed to be. It's just a shadow of what's to come. That we are pilgrims on a journey. And the only reason we are here, still here, and not at our home, the promised land, not the symbolic promised land of the Old Testament, but the promised land that is talked about in Hebrews, the sense that we have a life and a future ahead of us that is so much bigger and brighter than what we have today, that why are we sometimes not taking the posture of a pilgrim, but taking the posture of a protector, of something else, but that we are here to keep something of our own Christian culture. And maybe there's some Christian values that we want to hold on to, and that's okay, but we lose the perspective of pilgrim and become something else, and all of a sudden our witness totally changes. We go from welcoming the stranger to closing the door. We go from welcoming as God. It was one of the most important commands in the Old Testament, the second most common command other than love God and love your neighbor was welcome the stranger. And yet when we change in our mindset from being a pilgrim to being, this is my home, I'm going to protect it, we've shifted from having a sense of contentment with godliness as great riches. We've shifted to a complacency and an expectation, even, dare I say, an entitlement. That we expect God is going to do something because I live in a land that we can sing, God bless this land. And we can sing these songs and have this appreciation that God is going to bring me whatever I ask for. And sometimes even in our Pentecostal circles, we have this name it and claim it view that really distorts or corrupts the way it means to be a pilgrim. That there is something that God will do to bless us. He does promise blessing. He does promise to take care of us. He does promise many of these things. But it's not because we live in a certain land. It's not because we live, that we attend a certain church. It's not because we are part of a certain family. He promises to bless us because we have a faith in him and we are holding on to something that is bigger than this world and a part of something that is bigger than this world. And we are left here in this world to be his ambassadors. That we can be compelled to be his envoy here, saying, this world doesn't have what you hope it has. What happens, not maybe tomorrow for some of you, depending when you start shopping, maybe today, but it doesn't have what all the advertisers say it has for you. come Black Friday and come all the shopping and all the commercials, all the things that come with the commercialism that seeps into our holiday. I was sitting talking to a friend, a colleague yesterday at my school, and she's from Uganda and has lived here a few years now, and I was asking her, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? She's like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not American. I'm like, I know, it's a very uniquely American or Canadian holiday. So that, what does it mean? And yet, to me, it's still got this great sense of joy and Thanksgiving in it that's very much more than American, very much Christian. As Pastor George was saying, if it wasn't for faith in Christ, it would be a very meaningless holiday. And so I was telling her, I was saying, but I love it. It's one of my favorites. It's my favorite, and I love it because it's very pure and unadulterated, and it hasn't been corrupted by so many other things. And she's like, yes, but all the commercials are already here. Everybody's trying to talk about Christmas already, and not the Christmas that the Bible talks about, but you know, the materialism. And so I struggle with this holiday today. I struggle with wanting to have that heart of gratitude, and I want to draw us to a conclusion, and keeping that heart of a pilgrim, that we are on a spiritual journey that both is shaping us and hopefully reflecting God to our world. That it's that sense of journey that we are on, faith journey, that Walter Brueggemann talks about in his commentary on the Psalms, that he says the Psalms, the hymnody, the hymnology, the way that they put together their worship was a way that brought to mind the journey, the spiritual journey of the people of God. That the Israelites were on this move. Now, granted, you know, some of that move is when we read the Bible through the lens of migration, it goes all the way to the beginning. Adam and Eve were migrants. Exiles, as somebody said, exiled from the beautiful Garden of Eden. Joseph was a migrant. Maybe became a what we'd call an indentured servant, or something to that effect. He was perhaps something even more grotesque could be named. But Joseph was a migrant. Abram was a migrant. On the list goes Moses. Moses fled as a refugee to the desert. We could just go person after person. Ruth. Ruth is far more a story about migration. And she didn't have to cross borders and border patrols. Or maybe she did. And she didn't have the right paperwork as a Moabite widow. But Ruth isn't the romantic love story that we often think it is. It's a very much a story of being on the margins and barely being able to make it. And God's grace coming alongside of her and bringing her into the story of Jesus, that she could be part of the line that leads to Jesus. And Jesus himself was a refugee, was a migrant, constantly moving back and forth, even as a Galilean, or does anything good come from Nazareth as he journeys into Jerusalem and other places. So we have a Bible full of stories of what it means to be a pilgrim, what it means to be on journey. But Walter Brueggemann reminds us in the Psalms to remember that idea of journey, that he talks about two movements, movement from lament to joy. And the Psalms are full of lament and all this deep hurt and pain and this part of the journey that is just a struggle to a joy, that when we are fully realizing who we are journeying with and where we are journeying to, there's a joy, a thanksgiving that bubbles up and overflows, just like the psalm we read earlier today, that God is after a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in there, there's three kinds of, and there's two movements, and I forget the three kinds of things, but orientation to disorientation, back to orientation, that we are orientated to God, that who we are human, we are man, and he is God, to disoriented, that our world is falling apart, my enemies are all around me, where are you, God, what's going on, back to orientation, that God, you are my sustainer, you are my refuge. Psalms 11 is a good picture of this idea of disorientation to orientation, and so we have these pictures where we can come and say, God, you are my refuge. The world is falling apart around me, but yet I will hold on to you, oh God. When we keep this attitude of a pilgrim, this heart of a pilgrim, this perspective of a pilgrim, we stop worrying about the politics of our nation. We stop worrying about what we feel is falling apart. We stop worrying about the things that, that pull us down, that give us reason to complain or get into a fight with somebody, controversy. We stop worrying about all that, and we come back to a heart of joy and thanksgiving that God is sustaining us. And our witness becomes so much brighter that we can remember we are pilgrims and there are other pilgrims. We can become, as my colleague said at that conference I was at, we can become a community of migrants as the church. And I love being in this church. And I told him afterwards, I love being in this church because we are a community of migrants. We have people from all over the place. And it just makes it a very colorful and wonderful, beautiful place of diversity where we can come together as one family under God. And we can thank him that he is doing something in us. And we can be his representatives, his pilgrims, his ambassadors here, reconciling the world to him, calling the world, compelling the world to know him. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to close in prayer. I was a little troubled as I just felt God speaking into my heart all month. But I feel like even in that troubling sense, we are able to say thank you, God. Because we are your people. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are your people. We are your people called out of this world. Set on a journey with you, a pilgrimage, day by day, walking with you out of our former life into a new life, that we are being made into a new creation. That even earlier in that chapter of 2 Corinthians, we are told that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. God, you are walking with us. And when we think about relationship with you, it's all about that we are on a walk with you. We are on the way with you, the way of Jesus. Keep us on that way, that we would be Jesus people. We would be journeying people. We would be sojourners and welcoming fellow sojourners into this faith journey. We bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus. And as we celebrate with one another, Lord, let your name be lifted high. Tomorrow, let your name be lifted high as we gather together. Let your name be lifted high all across this nation as Christians pause to say, thank you, God. As we pause and are reminded, not to just give a cursory prayer, but to say, thank you from the bottom of our heart. To pause and reflect and contemplate all that you are doing in us. We worship you and say amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Andy, very much. I like the way you developed that out of a sense of soul-searching over the last month and struggling. I'm looking for my Bible. Well, you have it. Okay. I'd like to close with this benediction straight from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord bless you tonight. May the Lord bless the time of fellowship in the cafe.